Hey, giving me more time so I don't run over. Good morning. How's everyone? Nice seeing you again. It's always a joy to be here. This is my home church and my friends, people. And it's good to have opportunity to minister the word to you. Before I get into the message, I'd like to... Okay, good. I'd like to remind you that to pray for us, April 8th, we're leaving for Minneapolis and we'll be there for 3 weeks, as well as a stop in Eau Claire to minister. And we speak in 3 chapels there in Minneapolis. So please pray for us, for not only safety on the road, but for this old man's mind that sometimes seems to be wandering. Now, would you please turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 3. If you can understand a little of the background of course, what was going on, you can see very easily what the Apostle Paul is trying to teach. Paul went to Corinth, spent 18 months there. During his time in Corinth, there were a lot of conversions, but there were a lot of persecutions. In fact, one time, in the time Paul was in Corinth, there were things going on that were pretty bad, and Paul needed some encouragement. One of the few places we have recorded in the scriptures where the Lord spoke directly to Paul when he was at a place and said, just stay, everything's all right. Let me read this, you don't have to turn to it. But it's in 1 Corinthians 18. And now the Lord spoke to Paul the night by a vision, do not be afraid, but speak and do not keep silent, for I am with you, and no one will attack you, for I have many people in the city. So even during that 18 months, the Apostle Paul was having some difficulties, some fears. And the Lord, in that vision, told him, I'm with you. Don't fear. Stay. I get the idea. The Apostle Paul was thinking of perhaps moving on. And so what's important to understand is that the Apostle Paul, after 18 months, left. And while he was in Ephesus, he received 2 things. A letter from Corinth asking questions about various problems. And you and I know that the church in Corinth had a lot of problems. And I'm thankful that it's written down. I'm thankful that we have these and we have answers. And then word of mouth, as people came to Ephesus, they would tell Paul some things that were happening. So because of word of mouth and a letter asking questions, Paul sat down and wrote this letter. Now, the Apostle Paul knows this, and I think it's really important, that if he's going to handle these problems and these people are going to hear properly and obey, he has to deal with their spiritual condition. And he has to get them in the frame of mind and heart to listen to the word, because it's really important that they get the answers to so many of these problems. And it's a really interesting book to study. So, the Apostle Paul is going to first start out by saying, I want to address your spiritual condition. I want to address a problem that I see. The reason you are not making progress in some issues is because of your own heart's condition. So Paul is going to talk about that, and he went to get into this, and it's very interesting. He talked about the natural man, I talked about last week, and he says the natural man is a man who is not born again, who doesn't have the Spirit of God, and that the truths of the Scriptures cannot just be learned, as he says in chapter 1, by eye, ear, or feelings, emotions, entering the heart of man. It is not just learned by senses. It is learned by the Spirit of God. And the Spirit of God is the one who teaches and enables us to understand. But believers can be brought in their own life to a spiritual condition where even though they're believers, they're not really learning the truth. I don't mean they're not hearing it. I mean they're not learning it. You see, there's a difference between hearing doctrine and hearing New Testament principles and hearing things and learning them and taking them to heart. So he says in chapter 3, and this is where I want to go today, I think it's important to understand. Before he can deal with the problems, he must show them that their spiritual condition is such that he doubts very much if they're going to learn anything from what he says. And he makes some judgments about the congregation in Corinth. And I think it's quite interesting. So, there are many answers to the problem, but the spiritual condition isn't good. Will some people learn? Will they listen? Will they hear? Will they change? Or will they continue to cause problems? Now, the first problem he addressed in chapter 1, and he kept that over, is the fact that the Corinthian believers had been following certain men. I'm of Paul, I'm of Apollos, I'm of Cephas, Peter. And he says that because of that, they caused division and envy and strife. And immediately Paul says, that is an indication that you are not physically, or pardon me, spiritually ready and capable of learning more. And so he's going to address now what he considers to be a retarded growth condition. Let's look at verse 1. And I, brethren, now, he's addressing them as Christians. And you go back to chapter 1, he addresses them as being saved. He addresses them as being set apart. He addresses them of having gifts. But at the same time, he's making it clear that there's a problem. Have to take care of that problem before you can grow. So, and I, brethren, could not speak to you as spiritual. Now, what does he mean by spiritual? Super duper saints? No. I like to think about it this way. People whose spiritual condition is such that they're open to what the Holy Spirit is going to teach. Their hearts are open to learn and to understand, sometimes be rebuked. But this is what I would call spiritual. The Holy Spirit working in their lives so that they can grow to maturity. How many times have we sat under message? You realize in our churches, Sunday after Sunday, Wednesday after Wednesday, all over America, we hear the Bible. And yet, there are problems, and a lot of these problems, Paul says, as he says in chapter 1, and then he says here in chapter 3, they would have to do with envy and strife and divisions. This is 3:3. And that is not the condition of spirituality. Because when we're looking at the truth, and God is helping us to understand the truth, he works oneness, closeness, family, fellowship, not this sort of strife that takes place so often. And so, let's look at this. Say, I could not speak to you as spiritual people. Now, he doesn't say as people who are not saved, but as people who are not allowing the Holy Spirit to teach them. All right. But as to carnal, it's the babes in Christ. Now, the word carnal comes from the idea of flesh. Now, of course, we're all in the flesh until we die. He seems to be talking here about the idea that we are living our Christian lives the way we would if we were outside of Christ, with flesh answers of the world. You are carnal. Now, in the Old Testament, the word carnal always generally meant some kind of immorality. Here, it is just talking about the fact that they are not under the teaching of the Holy Spirit. So, let's look at this. All right. The carnal man, flesh. We expect spiritual growth when people are saved. The Apostle Paul expected spiritual growth. When you begin, and I've had that privilege of seeing assemblies begun from scratch, you teach basic things. You don't get real deep, you don't get into all kinds of things. You teach them and you build a foundation. But you expect them to grow. You expect to see the people's lives gradually change. You and I know when we come to Christ that there's a lot of growth that has to take place. My goodness, we're growing all of our lives. I've been kind of disgusted with getting old. Okay, next birthday, 75. And I'm still at a place where I know I need growth. And so it is more than just that. Here's what he's saying. You are carnal as babies in Christ. Now, their growth is retarded. They haven't been growing. One way he knows is because there's envy and jealousy and strife among them. Another way he knows is because of all of the problems that have taken place in this church among the body of Christ. So these people in chapter 1 are said to be sanctified. They're called saints. They're saved by the grace of the God. They've been given gifts. But he exhorts them to pay attention to them. A lot of people don't understand this. It took me a while. And you can have gifts of the Spirit and not be spiritual. When you're born again, you receive the Holy Spirit, and God puts you in the body of Christ, and you are a part of the body of Christ. You are a member, and God gives you an ability, gift. So you have to grow to discover, to understand. You have to walk in harmony. You have to walk in love. And some people find it hard. You can have spiritual gifts and not be spiritual. All right? The gifts are given by the Spirit of God. But it doesn't necessarily mean you're spiritual. You must grow and understand. So, we're babies, right? Okay. We start with babies. These people were under the control of the flesh. And by that I mean, they were not acting according to standards of the Scriptures. They were acting according to standards of the world. All right. When we pass over from sinnership to sonship, we are now learning a new way of thinking. Ephesians said, you have not so learned Christ. And we're learning new things about ourselves. But here's retarded growth. So, by flesh, they're under the control of the old life, and they're not being governed by the Holy Spirit, they're being governed by human standards. What I mean by that is they handle problems the way the world does. Here, strife and other things, they're fighting, they cannot come to an agreement, there's jealousy and envy among them, and they have taken the apostles and divided them in different categories. I wish I knew more about it. Man, I have hungered for years. Somebody find a commentary, somebody find something that would tell me more about this division between that, in their mind, Paul, Apollos, and Cephas. But there were followers of different schools, thoughts, different people. Well, they started fighting. They started bellyaching. I like this kind of message better than that message. And we do. But we have to remember something, folks. No matter who is speaking, no matter what the message, we are to pay attention and allow the Spirit to teach us. That's how we learn. I listen, and I expect that while I'm listening, the Holy Spirit may open up to me some issues. So, they are babies in Christ. In other words, they are still in infancy. My sister, Janet, who's gone to be with the Lord, had a daughter named Dawn, and a beautiful little girl. And, well, you expect certain things to take place. You expect to see a certain rawness and other issues. A few months, my sister said, I don't know, I wonder sometimes if something's wrong with Dawn. Well, she's just a little baby. 6 months, 8 months later, she said, something's wrong. You expect to see things. Took Dawn to a doctor. Doctor looked at Dawn and said, she's retarded. There was no way you could tell. And she will never, never be alert. She will never walk. She will never develop. She died when she was 13 years old. Her body grew, but she died when she was 13 years old. You expect to see things. And that's what my sister was doing. Jack, she said, something's wrong. And sure enough. So you expect to see people developing their life. So, being a carnal Christian is a baby in Christ. Joel and I were talking this morning. Joel knows quite a bit, been around a lot, that there are some teachers, even among us, who would teach that there's no such thing as a carnal Christian. And John MacArthur, years ago, changed his position in one of his commentaries and said, there's no such thing. But it's right here. I mean, I can't get past it. It's right here. You're babies in Christ. I fed you with milk and not with solid food. For until now, you were not able to receive it. But here's an interesting part. And even now, you are still not able. You should be able at this time to receive and understand the truth. Just not take notes, but to understand it and change. And so a carnal believer is a spiritual person with limitations. They are judging their lives and decisions the way the world would, the way, the old life. All right? And so it is difficult for them to understand how to take the truth and apply it to our daily living, right? So, it is arrested development, a stage of infancy, and they haven't grown out of it. Paul, in chapter 4, mentioned to him, you know, you have a lot of tutors, but you don't have many church fathers. Paul's been a father to him. And now the tutors are guys who are teaching, but they may be trying to get their own school of thought. Paul said, I've been a father to you. A father has concern over the growth and the development of their children. Now, I might say this. When New Testament used the idea of being babies in Christ, it doesn't always mean something wrong. I went to read a verse in 1 Corinthians 14, 4:20. All right, 14:20. And so I think this is interesting. And you can see he's carrying this thought on at the end of the book. It stuck in mind. Brethren, do not be children in understanding. However, in malice, be babies. When it comes to evil and bad, be babies, be innocent, be like infants. See? But I don't want you to be children in understanding. But I certainly would like you in your life to be like babies in regard to sin and evil and other matters. And I think it's kind of interesting. So he wants humility and teachableness. And Peter, 1 Peter 2:2 says, as newborn babies desire the sincere milk of the word. So there's nothing wrong with knowing the work milk of the word. What Paul is dealing with is this fact that he's going to really teach them some things that are really, really interesting. And he's not sure that they are in a spiritual condition to understand what he's saying in a practical way. So this is what he's dealing with first. And this is important. You know, little babies are cute and they're a delight. And they're nice to have, but we wait for joy. We wait for growth. Babies can't help themselves. You have your first baby, holy cow, changes your married life, doesn't it? Okay, and babies can't help others. You know, when go out, they can't help others. And you can't leave babies alone, can you? Leave them alone, we have to watch them. We have got all kinds of things in the bedroom with electronics and speakers and warnings and the whole thing. Can't leave them alone. And that's kind of the condition these people are in. They're not helping themselves to grow. They're certainly not helping others. They're dividing. And you can't leave them alone. If you leave them alone, you're really in danger. So, that's what's characteristic of a baby. And I think another thing he's mentioning here is their spiritual appetite. I want to teach you some things that are going to take some real discernment of the Holy Spirit in your life. You're going to have to think. And if you fit into one of these categories, you're going to have to change. So, Apostle Paul says there's kind of a lack of spiritual appetite. Milk versus solid food. This has to do with the fact of people's attitude toward spiritual matters. I'm a Christian, I know I'm born again, I know I'm saved, I'm going to heaven, but I have to run my business, I have to run other things just the way the world does, I got to cut some corners, maybe I may get a few exemptions that I really don't deserve, this sort of thing. Take them. And I live like the world does. All right? So it's a rebuke. When Paul wrote this letter, somewhere 3 to 5 years, after he spent his time in Corinth. And he expects some growth. All right. I will move on. I want you, the other phrase he says in verse 2 is, even now you are not able. They were standing in the way of their own spiritual development. And How sad when we see someone who isn't growing, or we see someone who is caught up in the wrong things, and this judgment, say, I'm of Paul, I'm of Apollos, I'm of Cephas. And there was a group that said, I'm of Christ. Now, I wish I knew more about what they meant, but it sounded to me like they're holier-than-thou people, say. Like the holier-than-thou people. I'm of Christ. Yeah. I have guys tell me, and you know, I have to study. I don't run that stuff. I just read the Word. And I don't need that stuff. I just read the Word. You run to books. I would say, who's your favorite teachers? Oh, I like this guy and I like that guy. Do you listen when they teach? Oh, yeah. Well, I'm reading teachers who have printed words. But I don't have to follow them. But I need help. And so this creates a problem. Now, first of all, I want to ask, who's at fault for this carnality? Sometimes people blame the leaders. Leaders haven't invested enough time in me. The leaders haven't spent enough time with me. And we need to teach well-rounded diet of spiritual truth in our chapels. The whole counsel of God. We like favorite things. We like certain things. But we have to teach this. When I get to speak, I've said this before, I look around and I think to myself, in this room this morning are different stages of spiritual growth. Different needs. People who have different problems. And as we approach the Word of God, teaching the whole counsel of God, we help people to come up with answers and to grow. It could be the individual believer's fault. There's strife and envy and jealousy. And that's very opposite of a hearty cooperation with one another. And Paul is sure that that is an indication that they're not walking in the Spirit. So these Christians are seldom at peace. They love fighting. They love disputing. They fight each other rather than fighting Satan. And it becomes wearisome. You know how much it takes out of leaders? An incredible amount of time and energy in dealing with these things. Especially if the people are again and again and again involved in this. I want to ask a couple questions at this stage of the sermon. And then I'll move on. First of all, am I the cause of my lack of growth? Is it really me? Not the elders, not the person next to me. Is it me? Am I not growing because I have conducted my life more like someone who is an unbeliever than a believer? All right? Question two, am I critical to the point of dissatisfaction and lack of cooperation? People become disappointed. People become grumpy, grouchy, whatever it is, and they do not cooperate. They do not enjoy the fellowship of others. Maybe just their own little group. Three, what do we help the local assembly? Am I a drag on it? What am I doing to help the assembly? Is my attitude harming my spiritual life? My attitude harming my spiritual life? Those are some questions you might just want to think about. All right. Now in verse 3, he tells the problem, right? He said there's envy and strife, divisions among you. Are you not carnal and behaving like, I like this, like mere man. Mere man, man without the Spirit, man without spiritual insight, man without spiritual teaching. You're just walking as mere man. When we come over to the Christian life, and the Holy Spirit delights in teaching us. Where's the fruit of the Spirit? Where's the fruit of the Spirit in our life to help us to grow? Here he's made clear that this then is, these people are conducting their lives the way the people around them conduct. The things that we debate today, the things we talk about, are quite shocking. All right? So, the above sins proved that they were not yet ready to hear the answers Paul was going to give them. And as I say, among other things in these first three chapters, Paul wants them to be in a spiritual condition to listen and to learn. All right? And he says, you walk as mere man, according to the standard of the world, like everybody else, as people commonly do. You show the same spirit of the world. You get angry if somebody fails. You get jealous. You get upset. You get critical, judgmental. And that's the way the world is living. I don't care, regardless of what they say. There's a lot of jealousy, envy, bullying, problems that are going on. Well, Paul said in Ephesians 4, these verses that we read, you have not so learned Christ. When you came to Christ, you've learned some things. And you put away the old man. You put away this manner of life. So, the divisions, again, were a witness to the worldly mentality. And walk as men. Some more questions before I go on. Is there an attitude or some conduct that is simply a natural reaction in your life? Somebody criticizes you and you're immediately upset. Now, we hurt. I don't like to be criticized. But how am I going to act? Strike back? Realize that as a human being, I'm defensive and I need to listen, I need to learn. I need to think that the Holy Spirit might be speaking to me through what that person says. Rather than thinking, where did he get off? He didn't have to prepare messages every week. He didn't know what it is to have to get up and speak, hey, in front of a bunch of blinking people. I shouldn't say that. And you're not going to really get anywhere. You're not going to learn. No. Question two. What if my life are still handled as I handled before I came to Christ? Took me a long, long, long time to deal with my temper. I've said this before, a long time. And I still find that it's part of my temperament, whatever it is, I could fly off the handle. And took me a while to learn that. So, in the beginning of my Christian life, I handled some situations the way I did before I was a believer. I told people off. I told them to take a long walk off a short pier or whatever, however we might say today, say, you can't judge me. Who do you think you are? And all I was doing was defending myself, and I was unwilling to listen to the ministry of the Holy Spirit through another person. And that created some problems. So, as Joel read this morning, these verses, Ephesians 4, he talked about your old man, your former manner of life. And I like that term in Ephesians chapter 4, 20-24, your former manner of life. All right, now, move on. Here, okay, strife. Are you not behaving like mere men? Well, once as I am of Paul, another of Apollos, are you not carnal? Divisions in the body of Christ. And this is something that really creates a problem. Divisions all over the place. I haven't kept statistics, but I've kept a few notes. Scribbled down thoughts. No names, no places. But as I moved around, I scribbled down thoughts about the places I visited and the people I know. And these problems exist all over the place. Wow. And so many of them are having difficulties with envy and strife or listening to the truth. There's some moral problem in one place. What's kind of shocking is that a number of the people don't see what's so bad about it. And they're causing some waves. It could get to the point where the assembly might just break up. But no different in Columbia. We went back to Columbia twice in the last 2 years. We went back for the 40th anniversary August, a year ago, and found out that there are some problems. Well, we weren't surprised by the problems because human beings have problems. These problems were really causing difficulties. Wow. And it kind of takes you back by surprise. They wanted us to become involved in them. Now, we, Dick and I, were there, and we may be their spiritual fathers in the sense that we started the work and led many to the Lord and taught them basic truths, but we left it, and they developed into a large assembly with leadership. And I don't know, for some reason, both of us felt like we did not want to become involved. We're outsiders now. They have some problems. It's creating some hardships. A few people are leaving, going elsewhere. So, these people lacked spiritual intelligence. They were not growing the way they should. And these divisions were a witness to people around them that they were not doing a proper job of following the Lord, understanding the Lord, and obeying Him. Now, I want to finish up by 11:30. That would be 2 weeks in a row. Mark that down, okay? 2 weeks in a row. It might get to be a habit. Is it possible to get from the condition of being a carnal believer to a spiritual state, condition? Sure it is. How do we go about it? You know what, folks? It can be instantaneous. Instantaneous. Now remember, we're not talking about maturity. We're talking about the condition of your heart and mind to hear. And you can do it sometimes instantaneously by making this decision that I don't want to live this way anymore. I want the Lord to help me. And just like that, your mind can open. Your heart can open. I've experienced that. I'm talking to you this morning. But I know what it's like to to fall into carnal conditions and think I'm not. I mean, after all, I'm a missionary. I founded churches. Okay. Well, you can move instantaneously. If you feel this morning, for example, that, you know, you've been making all your decisions, moral and spiritual and decisions, and living like you did in the past, you can decide, I'm going to change. I'm going to listen. I'm going to let God help me. And so we draw near to God. It's, by the way, it is needful to be convicted of this condition. Can become convicted in this sense. Just you just see you've been wrong. I used to be a fighter. I've told you this many times. I would draw my sword, boy, and I'd go to war about a lot of things. And it was the mission field and teaching new believers that brought me to a place where I thought, you've got to stop this nonsense, Ducky. You've got work to do and you've got people to teach. We've got to stop fighting over non-essentials. And I did. But it's easy to fall back to that. So we can become convicted. As unbelievers, we were convicted of our sin. I need to know Christ as my Savior. I'm a sinner. As carnal Christians, we must become convicted of the fact that these areas of conduct, especially strife, envy, jealousy, prove that I'm not really in a proper spiritual condition. And you know in chapter 12, 13, and 14, as he deals with gifts of the Spirit and how they're used. Chapter 13, he talks on love. And he just didn't throw that in. I think I'll throw a nice chapter in now. I've been so heavy. I need to give him something to encourage him. He's just telling him, look, without this, you're not going to really get much better. Got to learn, above all, loving one another. Okay, so as unbelievers, we were convicted. And after we became believers, the Holy Spirit starts dealing with our inner life. A lot of times when we become believers, it's some outward sin. And we are really convicted of that. And that outward sin, whatever it is, we've been convicted and we know we need the Lord, we know we need to be saved. But later on, the Holy Spirit starts getting inside and dealing with these attitude sins, this life that goes on inside, and these are hard to deal with. They're really hard to deal with, aren't they? Romans 7, as Paul is talking about following the law, following the Spirit, he cries, "O wretched man that I am, who will set me free from the body of this death?" And I personally do not believe he's talking about when he was an unbeliever. He is simply saying that he knows he cannot be holy through following the law. And he knows that sin is part of his Christian life. Who will deliver me from it? Well, it would be Jesus Christ who worked in our lives. And I have a hard time believing that the Apostle Paul is talking about his pre-conversion life. One time I did. But gradually I gave that belief up. A wretched man that I am. I believe we can do this very quickly, in a moment. And remember, spirituality in learning is not maturity. But if you want to mature, you have to be in the right spiritual condition. Right. That doesn't mean you have to have some fancy new experience, a baptism, or kind of in the spirit, or kind of some kind of experience where you can see the Lord, or you're carried away in ecstasy. It is just a decision that says, no more. Not necessarily a new feeling. Then I was born again. I wasn't jumping up and down. It was 11:30. I had to be at Ellis Chalmers early the next morning to work. All I wanted to do was go home and go to bed. It was the next day in the factory when I began to understand what had really taken place. And it's not necessarily new excitement. Take your stand on God's Word. Trust His Word. Trust what He teaches you. Believe that these truths in the Scriptures are for our benefit. Search your life, if you may and will, to see if there's any attitudes or areas of conduct that would not really honor Jesus Christ. Beware of falling in the trap. Well, I know a lot of the Bible. I know a lot of doctrine. I know a lot of typology. I know the New Testament principles backwards and forwards. But if you're not getting along with others, if you're not in a condition to learn, you may stay in that position. So here's what Paul is trying to do. Before he gets to all of the problems, he simply does one thing, pointing out a major problem that exists and saying that that major problem is indicative of the fact that you are not at this time capable of learning these deeper truths, let's say, that you're not capable of understanding what is going on. And he is trying to get them, first of all, to be in a condition of listening and learning. So, it's an interesting book. Fascinating book. And 2 Corinthians shows that a number of people there did not accept what he said. All right. What's the condition of your mind and heart these days? Can you learn? Are you willing to learn? I have gone through stages, and I know exactly what this carnality is like. I'm still growing. Father, thank you for Paul's word. Babies in Christ. We begin as babies. We need to learn how to walk. We need to learn how to conduct our lives to make proper decisions. And if we don't grow, and if we allow these kinds of sins in our lives, and we don't grow, we are really more of a hindrance to the body of Christ than help. So I pray, Father, for all of us here, including myself, help us to understand that your word has been given to us and the Holy Spirit is our teacher. And if we grieve the Holy Spirit will need to convict us of what grieves him rather than teach us more truths. Thank you for these people. And bless them. Richly bless their lives and their families, I pray in Jesus' name. Amen.